8 weeks in the Beatitudes of Jesus. So here they are. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The words of Jesus." And as we approach these four pronouncements, these declarations that Jesus makes on the mountain, from the start, we want to understand that Jesus is talking about not eight different types of people, but that he's talking about eight characteristics of one who has entered the kingdom. Today we'll look at the first of those characteristics, which is poor in spirit. It's been called the fundamental characteristic of the Christian. That sounds important. That's David Martin Lloyd-Jones made that observation. So, what is it? Poor in spirit, what is it? And how do we get it? That's what we'll talk about. Let's pray. Yes, Father, we want our eyes to be opened, our hearts to be awakened to you and to your living word, to your presence with us, to your grace with us. Thank you for grace. And thank you for your instruction that meets the need of our hearts. So help us to connect, to engage with this little kernel of truth that is like the seed of a great oak, sprouting, growing, and bearing fruit in our lives. May it be so. Amen. So, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, first. What does blessed mean? A quick survey of what others have said about this word, blessed, in the Beatitudes. By the way, Beatitudes is from the Latin beatus, meaning happy or blessed. First Strong's Concordance. The idea is, with blessed, the idea is supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, happy. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The blessed one is to be congratulated, to be envied, for he alone is happy. D.A. Carson. To be blessed is to have God's approval. John MacArthur. To be blessed is blissful. Not a superficial feeling of well-being based on circumstance, but a deep supernatural experience of contentedness based on the fact that one's life is right with God. Ed Welch. The blessed are honored. Their status is enviable. They are obvious recipients of divine approval and favor. And finally, Philip Yancey makes the case that blessed can be best understood, contemporary term, as lucky. It's the closest we can get, he says, to this concept in contemporary culture. The kind of happiness you cannot deserve or earn or work up on your own. So, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's saying something along these lines. You are so fortunate. You are to be congratulated. You are to be envied. What an honor What bliss to have God's approval. Blessed. It's not something superficial or temporary, and it's not based on circumstances, like the sun is shining, what a beautiful day. I just received the greatest compliment, you wouldn't believe it. I just got an A on my test. Those are happy things, but not blessed things in the sense that Jesus uses this word. To be blessed is a state of well-being that is deep and lasting and is always in relation to God. So, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, poor in spirit. What is it? How do we get it? First, what is it? To be poor in spirit is not to be economically poor, to have little money or few possessions. The Bible does not teach that being poor is a virtue in itself, nor does it teach that being poor is a sin, obviously. To be poor in spirit is not an outward condition. It does not involve outward circumstances, but it focuses on the heart, on the spirit. It's a kind of moral and spiritual poverty where you admit that your problems are beyond you. Life is not manageable. Not just your outward circumstances, but also your inner resources don't measure up. They're not adequate. You are spiritually bankrupt, like a beggar before God. You have nothing to bring to God. You have nothing to impress Him with. You are completely undeserving of His favor, His acceptance. You are totally dependent on God's mercy and His grace. Opposites of poor in spirit: self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-confident, full of self-esteem, all of which in our culture tend to be regarded as virtues. So Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Maybe you've heard it said Christianity is just a crutch. And it's meant as an insult to believers. Only a cripple needs a crutch. Only a weak person needs religion. Guess what? I'm a cripple. And so are you. We're all cripples. We're all weak. If only we all would understand that, recognize it. So the next time you hear someone say, isn't Christianity just a crutch? Then I recommend answering yes. Christianity is a crutch, and that's good news because we're all crippled. Christ is the only crutch that can bear the weight of our brokenness and our helplessness. The Christian faith is a stumbling block and an offense because it takes the condition that we hate most, which is our helplessness, and it turns it into the doorway to heaven. It's a paraphrase of a John Piper statement. I love it. So, blessed are the spiritually and morally crippled, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is so radical, so countercultural. We're always hearing all around us, believe in yourself. You've got it in you. You've got what it takes. And what it takes actually is God Himself. Jesus entering into this domain of darkness and meeting us where we live and where we need Him. A few examples of men, because they're all men. I recognize that. Men who are poor in spirit. David in the Old Testament, King David, after Nathan the prophet comes to David with God's message, God is telling David, I'm going to make you a house. I'm going to build you a house. He's talking about a line of kings that spring from David. David's response to that revelation is, who am I, O Lord God, that you have brought me thus far? Who am I? Sense of undeserving, poor in spirit. Isaiah, another example. Isaiah chapter 6. This is where Isaiah has a vision of the Lord on his throne in the temple. And the foundations of the temple are shaking, and the temple fills with smoke, and there are angels surrounding the Lord, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah's response is, woe is me. I'm lost. I'm undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Woe is me, poor in spirit. Another example is Peter, Christ's disciple Peter, who's a naturally bold and self-confident man. But when he truly sees Jesus, and this is in Luke chapter 6, I think, or 5, the great catch of fish. And Peter's eyes are open to see a little bit, at least, of who Jesus is, what his powers are. His response is, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That's poor in spirit. And then Paul, the apostle, man of great powers, great learning, amazing religious credentials, a religious resume, unparalleled. And all these things that Paul could take pride in, all of his impressive accomplishments, he says he considers them rubbish, manure, dump. That's what the word means. And instead, Paul looks to God for true righteousness in Christ. There again, poor in spirit. All of these examples. One more. Amos. I'm not talking about the Old Testament prophet, but about our 18-month-old grandson. So he comes up, and he looks up, and he lifts his arms. And the meaning of that is, pick me up. And probably next week sometime we'll use the words, pick me up. He's picking up words fast. So how is that an example? I'm not saying that little Amos is poor in spirit. It is hard in his spirit. I'm saying he's a picture. That action that I describe is a picture of poor in spirit because it demonstrates dependence. It demonstrates trust. A sense of need and trust and dependence. It's just out there asking for help. A better view of things. So, I translate that, what Amos does, into what I want to do as I think about my weakness and God's mightiness. More and more I'm inclined just to lift my arms to Him. It gives new meaning to raising your hands to the Lord. We do that in praise sometimes, but now I'm doing it along the lines of, God, I need you to pick me up. I need you to carry me. Sense of need. That too is poor in the spirit. Jesus tells a parable in chapter 18 of the Gospel of Luke. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And this parable gives some further insight into what poor in spirit looks like. Two men went up to pray, says Jesus. And one's a Pharisee, the other is a tax collector. Pharisees were very careful about keeping religious laws and rules, many of them of their own making. And they thought that the rule keeping, the law keeping, was the way to righteousness. Tax collectors worked for the Roman authorities. They were often dishonest. And they were hated and resented by the Jews. So in this parable, the Pharisee is described as, well, he's thinking well of himself, in three ways. First, he compares himself with others. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. For example, this tax collector over here. Then he brags and he boasts. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes. In other words, I'm a very religious man. And then thirdly, the Pharisee is concerned only with outward religious actions. He's totally missing the heart. He doesn't know his own heart. In contrast, the tax collector looks down, he's beating his breast, he knows that he falls short, he has sorrow over his sin, and he prays to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's interesting to think about what each of these two men see, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee sees his own merit, and he trusts in himself that he is righteous. The tax collector sees God's holiness, and he sees his own falling short. It's the tax collector, of course, who is poor in spirit, and he knows that his only hope is in God's mercy. So that's poor in spirit. Gives us some idea, at least, of what Jesus speaks of here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's a blessed thing. How do you get it? And that's what we'll talk about next. How do you become poor in spirit? There's a sense in which everyone already is poor in spirit. We're born that way. We just don't recognize it. So Jesus really is talking about something different from that. Jesus is talking about becoming poor in spirit. It's something you have to feel and know about yourself and then acknowledge to God. How do we get to that place? Well, notice again that all of the Beatitudes are not commands. They're proclamations, they're declarations of what is. So, Jesus doesn't say, be poor in spirit, or make yourself poor in spirit. It's not what you have to do to be blessed. Instead, it's a description of ones who are blessed. It's a description. These are not commands, but pronouncements. So, interesting contrast with the law. The law, basically the way the law is intended to be understood is, do this and you will live. And in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, that's essentially the formula repeated over and over. Do this and you will live. Keep these laws and you will have life. The attitudes are quite different. The attitude formula is live, and you will do this. Live, and you will be this way. First come into life, and then you will be in a place where you can live out your life to God. You will be in a place where you can be poor in spirit, for example. How do we enter into life? There's only one door. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10. Who can pass through that door? Only the poor in spirit. Only the empty-handed beggars who are dressed in rags. And they know that they're undeserving. And you can't, in one sense, you can't make yourself poor in spirit. You have to be made poor in spirit. And so, depending on what your makeup is, you might just throw your hands up in despair and think, what can I do? I want to be poor in spirit. poor in spirit. The world says, think positively. I'm poor in spirit, I'm poor in spirit, I'm poor in spirit. But poor in spirit, being poor in spirit, is not a matter of positive thinking. It's not a matter of negative thinking either. We don't want to be in the place where we're just, oh, I'm just a nobody, I'm a piece of dirt, I'm worthless trash. The key to being poor in spirit is to not look at yourself at all. Rather shift your attention to Jesus. Especially Jesus on the cross. Look to Christ and recognize your own spiritual emptiness and poverty and helplessness. And turning your eyes upon Jesus on the cross brings your helplessness and your spiritual poverty into sharp focus. Look what Jesus has done for you. Look what he had to do for you. And it's by pure grace. Totally undeserved. The cross shows us how desperate things are for us. It shows us how our only hope is God's intervention. When you're at the point of seeing your total dependence on God and admitting your helplessness and seeing how great your need is and what it takes for your need to be addressed, only then is the way open for real change in your life. So Jesus says to the poor in spirit, come. It's just an invitation. Come. And here's how the poor in spirit respond. This is a stanza or a verse out of an old hymn, Rock of Ages, dating back to 1776. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, for I die. If you are poor in spirit, you know two things. One is that you can't save yourself. Second is you can't do the Christian life in your own power. The poor in spirit know this, and they admit it. They admit it to themselves, and they admit it to God. So, the question is, how do you enter into the kingdom of heaven? Where Christ is king. That's the domain where we want to be. He's king. We're happy subjects under the king. How do we enter in? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Essentially, we just have to look at ourselves in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror, and say, this person needs a savior. And then the cry of your heart, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. To that one, God says, come, enter my kingdom, where Christ is king, and he will be your king. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of this truth, and yet we recognize, I think, how difficult to take hold of it is. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and goodness in most or all of our lives here. You brought us to the place of poverty of spirit so that we can recognize your riches and respond to you. Yes. God, have mercy on us, sinners that we are. Thank you that your mercy indeed has come and continues to be poured out to us. Amen.